Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. Welcome to the Photographer's Eye Podcast. My name is Omar Gonzalez, and in this podcast, we interview photographers of different genres just to pick their brain and, you know what, steal all their knowledge. In today's episode, we have Benjamin Canarick. He is a fashion photographer based out of Paris, although he was born in Toronto. And why would he leave Toronto? It's like the mecca of fashion photography. Honestly, I don't know anything about fashion photography, so I'm really excited to pick Benjamin's brain about fashion photography. You know, my perception of fashion photography is, as I flip through fashion magazines, if, you know, while I'm at the dentist, it's not like I go and, you know, buy Elle or Bazaar or any of those. So while I'm at the dentist flipping through these magazines, I love the photography. I love fashion photography, but I'm also confused by it. And so I hope Benjamin can shed some light on the strangeness. I find a lot of it really weird. I find like any lighting technique goes. There are really no rules. And you know, in portrait photography, it seems that we're stressing so much about lighting technique and having soft light and beautiful light and direction of light. And it seems in a lot of fashion photography, it's like anything goes. And so I want to know, that's the main thing I want to know, is can you almost do anything if you're an established fashion photographer? There seems to be a line that you cross from portrait and glamour photography into the strange world of fashion photography. All right, let's talk to Benjamin. Do some technical stuff here.
My wife is asking me, are we live or is this going to be recorded?
No, it's recorded. We're recording now. So we're going to start in 3, 2, 1. Hey, we're live here with Ben Canarick. No, we're not live. So it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, because it's a brand new venture and you're so gracious to just come on and you know, thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm a huge fan of your work. And I've been following you on YouTube for a few years. And I love your sense of humor.
I think. Thank you.
You're a very funny man and incredibly talented. And I love your Fujifilm reviews. And I feel deeply honored as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
On your podcast.
Did you have a Fujifilm, you know, for fashion? Or is that something that's relatively recent, is having, jumping into the smaller camera? I know you use X-T2, X-T3s.
I still have my Nikon gear. I won't go back too far because I know we have 30 minutes. When I was shooting film, I was shooting Nikon. And medium format, I was shooting Hasselblad. And then I converted to digital. I went into the Canon format. I was Canon photographer, sponsored by Canon in France. And then I switched back to Nikon. I became attracted to mirrorless based on a lot of critiques and reviews I heard about Sony, and specifically Sony at the time, because there weren't a lot of competitors out there. And then I just basically walked into a shop one day and I saw the Fuji.
Oh yeah, all you have to do is pick it up. Here it is right here.
And it was so diminutive and beautiful to handle. And I read a lot of interesting reviews about it. And I know that if you know as well as I do, you're a photographer, that if you know what you are shooting for and the size of what you are shooting for, you can basically determine whether
you could use anything. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I had a 6x4 meter billboard on the boardwalk at the Cannes Festival, which was shot with a Canon 10D, which was like megapixels.
Yeah, those guys are no megapixels. That's great. And Nikon is coming out with, they finally have mirrorless cameras with 2 card slots. Is that something you would use?
No, actually, to be honest, I haven't touched my Nikon. No offense to Nikon. I love them. I have 4 DA10s and about 12 of their lenses. I haven't picked up the Nikon almost 2 years. You should know, however, I use 2 GFX50Ss, the medium format Fujifilm cameras, and I have six of their lenses, and I I've just ordered a couple of X-T4s. I'm getting them next week. I use, for all of our shoots, we primarily and systematically use the X-T3 either on a gimbal or a monopod for all of our videos. And I would say of the last 10 shoots, six of them were with the X-T3 and four of them were with the GFX 50S.
Wow.
And this is rather historic. I know it's meaningless to a lot of people, but I've shared this with Fujifilm. And I just recently did a photo shoot for Vogue magazine, and it's coming out in about 2 weeks. And it was shot with the X-T3. And the results were outstanding. So I have no complaints about the output of the Fujifilm.
I love fashion photography when I'm looking through magazines, Elle, Vogue, but...
Yeah,
all of them. And but for a lot of it, for me, is just strange and bizarre. And I feel like in a good way, in a liberating way, where as a portrait photographer, I'm very deliberate in trying to have the right light, the right wardrobe, to make sure that everything is perfect. But as I flip through magazines, I mean, can you have a shoot where someone's holding a rubber chicken and, you know, it's accepted? I feel like it's like fashion photography, it's almost like doesn't matter the lighting. Sometimes it's really harsh and I wouldn't want to say ugly lighting, but...
No, it's ugly. It's and right? A lot of people, you're right. Absolutely.
So are is that how your mindset works? Like, are you liberated by... anything goes? Is that what the world is behind your viewfinder? Or are those choices very deliberate? Like you're picking the right rubber chicken, you know?
I love your question. And we did, everyone should know, Omar said, Ben, I'm going to keep you on the straight and narrow because we only have 30 minutes. So I will try to respond. First and foremost, technique is important. It's only used as a vehicle to get a specific outcome. So technique works only to get what you're trying to get.
Yeah.
Technique should not be a means to an end. Basically, you know, there are different movements in photography, in fashion photography. There are some people who are using direct flash on top of a 6-megapixel Canon vintage digital camera, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what is happening. So basically, yes, it is deliberate. And no, it isn't deliberate, because my philosophy is when I do a shoot, and that is let stuff happen. Mm. Let things, let accidentals are really important. It's the shot between the shot that's really important, or it's the movement between the pose. I hate to use the term pose, because when people think pose, they think something that really is not really what I'm trying to accomplish. And even when I do a pose, or the model does a pose, it's done for a reason. It's almost a parody of itself.
Really?
We'll say it's, we will literally go, let's just really make this outlandish and make it obviously tacky. And
that's great that you said that, because that I was going to ask the same thing. Are you giving that direction? Because some of it seems, you know, like I'm really throwing myself back into this pose, like exaggerated. Yes. And some are just, you know, a little bit more traditional.
Yes. Okay. Now that I have to, another thing I need you to know, my philosophy with working with models is this. I give them, we have a mood board, we have a theme, we have a storyboard, and we say, or I say, do what you feel in that moment, and I will capture those moments.
Wow, so you're feeding off the model, yeah.
I don't direct these models, and I let them go. And I even like when I have a debutante who has no experience, and she's all fidgety, and she's doing all this weird stuff, and I'm just shooting away. Because
you're like, this is great.
This is great, and it's like, and the most frustrating thing for me, and after my 35 years of experience, the most frustrating thing for me is when there's a slight break, when the makeup artist says, Benjamin, I got to get on the set. I've got to fix something. I will go, and the model just relaxes. And there is that shot that I didn't get.
Oh, man.
You know it as well as I do. You do it all the time.
I'm looking through your beautiful work. I love this pink, the girl with the pink hair.
Oh, Pink Bride.
Yeah, that was a great little right through the streets, because it's kind of like what I'm drawn to is on location shooting. Do you prefer on location, on gray, in a hotel room?
Oh, man. Oh, boy. You answered all three yeses. Okay.
Oh, good.
they're all yes for all three. It depends on our theme. We treat a photo shoot like a film. And we have a script. Everything's scripted out. If we don't script things out, we'll never get through our day.
Got it.
Our shoots are highly demanding. I mean, we have to shoot specific designers for specific and mix them up in a certain way. The stylist will prepare all the looks before the shoot. We'll send them off to the fashion magazine to make sure there's nothing redundant in the magazine. That
wow.
If you really want to piss off a magazine like Vogue, Elle, or Bazaar, shoot something that's already been shot. That's the best way of shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I'm looking here at Pink Pride, and she has maybe 9 to 10, 12 outfits here. And, you know,
well,
that's incredible.
Well, it's more than 12 outfits. Pardon my interruption. It's 12 pages. On each image, there's at least two or three designers.
Wow.
Now, when you have a single designer on a page, many magazines don't allow you to do that because they will consider that advertorial. And if a designer wants advertorial, they'll have to pay for it. So in nine times out of 10, when you see an image on a page and you read the credits, you will see more than one credit. There are some brands that are incredibly strict, like Chanel and Dior, who say, no way you're mixing anything on this image. If you want Dior or if you want Chanel, you have to specifically show one look.
So let me ask you this. You've been doing this a while.
Yes.
You ever still get nervous before a shoot? I know
I got nervous before this interview.
me too. I've been doing this for a while, and I think that's good to have a little bit of nervousness energy to get you through the shoot, to get you excited. It's that fight or flight that I think.
I'm always nervous before a shoot. Omar, I don't sleep. I am not exaggerating. What the problem with me and doing shoots, I'm always exhausted when I show up in the morning at the shoot.
Really?
Yes, because the night before, I cannot sleep.
Oh, so okay.
I can't. I'm too nervous. I'm thinking of
everything that has to go on. But you have a team, you know, like I'm by myself, you know, so, but.
Yeah, I have a team of 8 to 10 people, but it makes it easier because I'm able to choose from the best of the best.
How do you create the mood? Are you feeding off the art director? Is everything already, you know, preconceived? And can a shoot change in the middle? So like a day
does.
At work, what is it like for you?
All right. First off, Frederick and I are the art directors. In 99.9% of the time, we create the concept. Very briefly, I'll go. There are collections that happen every year, twice a year, spring, summer, fall, winter. Okay, you know that. You're in New York. You know the collections.
Yeah, you just had Fashion Week.
Exactly. So what happens is we now know the trends. We know the looks of each of the designers. So I will be commissioned, for example, by Vogue. Okay, I was just commissioned recently. And the theme was cinema. And we know it's a cinema theme.
That's all they tell you. They're like, listen, we're doing something cinema.
Yeah, because they want us. Okay, so yes. Benjamin, it's for our special November cinema issue, okay? We want you to do a story that's 10 to 12 pages. And can you get back to us with some ideas?
All right, so let me try. Can I pretend that I'm...
Yes.
All right, so maybe tropey. That's the thing that probably makes people nervous, is maybe to be too tropey, too obvious, too... And I'm sure, you know, in your mind, you maybe give a variety of ideas. I would think vintage movie theater, you know, and that might be too obvious.
Yeah, that was not what we did.
Exactly, you know, so
what we did was the following. We were very lucky in Paris that we're having COVID-19 right now. And I'll tell you why. Because I know the director of one of the 5-star hotels in Paris called the Regina, which is closed. So I called him up and I said, look, I'm doing a shoot for Vogue China. It's a film story. You will be credited in the magazine. They will do an article on your hotel. And I would like to know if you'll give us your hotel for free.
Okay.
Okay. And so knowing the guy, knowing that I've dealt with him in the past, said, Benjamin, that's great. I will personally come. Imagine, Omar, this is incredible. I will personally come to the hotel at 9 a.m. I will open the hotel up to you, and your team have carte blanche in that hotel.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's one of the most iconic hotels in Paris. So we shot the story in the lobby of the hotel.
Do we have this on your blog here on the magazine?
It's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
The embargo will be lifted November 1st when it comes out. So the story is the following. Omar, you're a paparazzi. No, you're not a paparazzi. Omar, you're the photographer on the set of a major motion picture. You are filming what's going on during the preparation of the actress and on the set of the movie. So you will be photographing the movie from A to Z, i.e. when her hair is being done, when the clapboard.
Got it.
I was a photographer on the set of a film, so you see everything. It's totally nude. You see the lights. You see the film cameras.
Oh, very cool. The gaffer.
You see everything.
The gaff.
You see gaffers. You see the cameraman. You see the, so there were a lot of people on the set, and we wanted them there. So you'd see the hairstylist.
Ah, that's neat. In coming up with ideas, in portrait photography, there are tropes. Like, don't shoot on train tracks. Don't shoot, in winter. It's been overdone, a hood of some kind,
Yes.
So are there known rules in... Are there known rules in fashion photography, like tropes?
Yeah, yes. Here's a rule: don't reshoot because no one has the budget.
You better get it right.
Know your stuff well enough, exactly, that you don't have to reshoot, and also know how to fake it well enough that it does come out. If it does come out badly, it still looks cool.
Exactly. That's what you guys can get away with, the rubber chicken, That's what makes me so mad.
That's not fair. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You want me to give you a class, very technical, precise, Cartesian.
No.
No,
I know what you're saying.
I can do that. I know that Picasso originally was an incredible realist. He could draw you like a photograph. So all that tech crap is there in the back of my mind. I can pretty much do anything I want, but that is not what we want to do. We want to capture moments that look legitimate and real or fake.
Yeah.
But if it's going to be fake, really, if it's going to be super fake, make it super fake.
Yeah. I love that because that explains perfectly as I'm flipping through the magazine in the dentist's office, like, what were they thinking? And you know what? It makes sense. It grabbed my attention. It made me look at the photograph. It made me try to follow that story. Why is she in a bathtub with ivy? And
Well, I'm going to be a bit bombastic. I'm going to be a bit of a snob here for a moment. Really, it depends on which magazines you're looking at.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my questions. Yeah.
A lot of photographers think, well, the model's going to show up with a halter top and a pair of shorts. That is not fashion. So the process is the following. In the morning, the whole team has seen the mood board. It's been pre-discussed on conf calls. The makeup artist knows the theme. They've given us their own examples. They've pulled photos from different magazines to send to us. We've sent it to the stylist. We've discussed it with them. So pre-getting to the site, we know what the model is going to look like. As close as we can, okay?
Can you see my screen? I love this.
Oh, yeah, that's India Ruhlman.
Oh, beautiful.
So anyways, this was haute couture. Now, that's another story entirely. Haute couture is like the Formula One of fashion. Why? Because there's only one of a kind. There aren't more than one example of each. There isn't, I should say, more than one example of each dress. And you only have the dress for about a half an hour.
Wow.
Because during the haute couture, there are messengers driving around, dropping off dresses on one shoot, picking them up, going to another shoot. So during haute couture, you'll have maybe 60 magazines working in Paris.
because haute couture is only Paris.
Oh, got it.
So you might have Vogue China, Vogue India, all the different Vogues, all the different Elles, all the magazines that want to shoot haute couture. They'll all be at the locations they're shooting from. And so the poor designers have to drive these, and they have the planning and the logistics are outlandish, but they're, you know, so, you know, like what you're looking at right there for Sorbet magazine was haute couture as well.
So do you ever get, let me put my screen back on so you could see my beautiful face. Okay.
Oh, your face.
Hi there. I'll do Jim Carrey for you. Hi there. I should just do the whole interview like that. Hi there. I'm from Canada. So one of the struggles that a lot of photographers, myself included, have is that we have so many choices open to us, gear-wise and location-wise and wardrobe-wise. Do you ever get that, you know, paralysis, 35-80, go wide, go, or you just...
I'm going to be really open with you and transparent.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. It really depends on the mood I'm in the day before the shoot. Often people will say to me, well, Ben, why did you take your 50S and why not the XT3 or why not the Nikon?
Yeah, yeah.
And I honestly say that I will answer this. Look, it's being published in a magazine. The biggest format it's going to be is maybe the Buster.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So honestly, it's how lazy I am. I'll give you an example. My last shoot, Ben, do you really, how many assistants do you have in this shoot today? Okay, you have two. Okay, so I kid you not, Omar, my last shoot for Vogue, let me just remember if this is accurate. Yes, my last
you
shoot
You used
for
the
Vogue.
27 millimeter pancake lens.
Listen,
okay.
Listen, close. I used the X-T3 and the 23 1.4 for the whole shoot. That's it. And one shot only with the 56 1.2. That was it for the whole day.
Wow.
Now, Freddie had the camera on the monopod with 33 millimeter Viltrox, and I had my 18 to 55 millimeter 2.8-4 on my gimbal, on my Zion Webill S. Gimbal.
So no paralysis for you. That's great. I mean, I do the same thing. I just shot a portrait shoot with the GFX 100. And that was, you know what, I'm just going out with that camera because I got it borrowed. And
yes.
the 110 millimeter, so just like an 85 equivalent. And I don't know if you know Danny Diamond. He's a portrait photographer in our area here in New York. And he uses only an 85 and only natural light. And sometimes I find that is, some photographers, that's great for. Like if they sort of pigeonhole themselves, then it liberates them to be creative in other ways.
Yes,
some of us have so many lenses and things that sometimes it may confuse you. So I think for some of you out there, if you're finding that you don't really know what your style is, or if you're struggling with what do I shoot, then reduce,
right. Right.
You know? And just like Benjamin said, he went out just with the 23 and he rocked it.
Less is more. You know, it's interesting. If I had only one lens to choose from for everything, I had no choice. My numero cover, which you could show the colored one, was shot with the 23. And
numero
the colorful
cover.
One.
Oh, I got it here. The black and white one?
No, the color, without the black, no, the colored one.
Oh, with the purple, the girl with the purple hair here.
Yeah, yeah. That just came out. And that was shot with the 23 at 1.4. So I think one could get away with either the 23 and the 35. And I would suggest one lens could probably do everything for you.
Are you going, is this beautiful, by the way? I love the colors here. Is this natural light just going out and...
Okay. Yeah, yeah. The whole thing was all natural light, but I have to share something with you.
Wait, I have to ask a quick question because
people always
ask this. Do you need a permit going out there to shoot on the streets, or is it one of those things where apologize later?
Okay, that's good. Okay, the first thing is strange law. If you have a monopod, you're good. If you have a tripod, you're not.
Got it. Same in New York. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
if you have a tripod... Forget about it. But if you have a monopod, you can do it. Okay?
Beautiful.
And they love the spectacle. They know it's Paris.
Oh, yeah. It's Paris, you know, and I mean? Fashion.
Exactly. about your question about that photo, it was, do you remember in the 1890s, 1900s, people would hand color black and white images?
Yes.
This was all black and white, this whole story. And it was all hand colored.
This?
Manually.
The numero mode?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
So all these shots were converted from black and white to color. So basically,
wow, you basically a lot of work for someone.
that took 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And get ready for this. If you see the video on this, you'll find it. Frederick, my wife, she hand tinted the whole movie.
Wow.
Can you imagine moving?
Come on. That's unnecessary work.
Frederick, how long did you take? A month? It took Frederick a month to do the coloring of the video. It's only a 1 minute video.
So, speaking of Frederick, what's your work life balance like? Do you leave everything behind? Are you able to separate the two, or are you always thinking fashion, work, photography?
Frederick and I, Frederick also just opened, you'll check it out if I give her a bit of a plug. Prior to this life, she was the director of media for the world for Issey Miyake, Narciso Rodriguez, and Jean-Paul Gaultier perfumes for the world. Yeah. So she was responsible for buying ad space in magazines for those brands. She's just started her own PR company called In-House Publicity, exactly how it's spelled. And she's launching officially on 1st of November. And it's basically a boutique luxury brand public relations company.
Oh, very cool.
And she does all of the co-creative direction on all the shoots. She does all the filming. And she does all the editing. I do the filming for Gimbal stuff. And she does all the other stuff.
Now,
and she's not technical at all.
Is it a conscious choice of yours to not really brand yourself too much? I noticed that there isn't a lot of photographs of you. Your YouTube videos are great, but you're not in them shooting. Is that a conscious choice?
Yeah, it's kind of a Steven Meisel choice.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like Steven, I think, has been seen two or three times.
There's a great comic artist, too, Steve Ditko, there was only maybe one photograph of him.
I'm like you, though. My head is shaved.
if you scroll.
If you go to my bio, you can see my picture.
Oh, yeah, of course. And also, you know, you have YouTube videos from like 10 years ago still on there. You're going to have to get rid of those.
If I were to say to you, if I may, first off, I think you're an incredibly talented photographer. And the only thing I would tell you to do, it's very simple. You'd find out all of the major modeling agencies in New York, or if you're in Atlanta or Miami or Los Angeles, and say you'd like to do not a test. Never use that word test.
Okay.
Ever. Because they'll go, no way, we're not going to waste our time. What you say is, I'm going to do a fashion story that I will submit to one of the many independent fashion magazines around the world that accept submissions. And what you would do is tell them, look, the exchange is obviously, we will use your model, and we will have a real stylist, a real hairstylist, makeup artist. We will choose the most current collections. And if you get a stylist, they'll have access to all of the PR agencies representing all the designers. And they will provide clothing that will be current for the next issues that will be coming out. I'm always shooting 3 to 4 months ahead of, you know, the season. You know, and are we over the 30 minutes?
No, we're good. We're good because we'll cut stuff out.
Okay.
We'll just cut you off when you ramble. But wait, I was going to ask something else because that was great advice, by the way. And you know, they say the camera looks both ways. When I look at my photographs, people are laughing and goofy and hugs by family. And I notice most fashion photography, that there's a specific look that, you know, this very stoic, very...
You're such a diplomat.
Yeah. So diplomat. I would never make it. I don't think I would ever make it as a fashion photographer because I'd be like, come on, give me some energy. You know?
There you go. No, I disagree with you. You'd be like a Bill King or a Koto Bolafo. No. Koto Bolafo and Bill King, all of their shoots were super high energy, laughing. It's all a question of fashion. By that, I mean, what is fashionable today? Sometimes I'll do laughing shots because they're appropriate. Is there a wave of that happening?
generally, it's interesting. When I let the model do what she wants to do, she won't do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, I don't direct them to. But if it's an honest laugh and it's spontaneous and it's real, yes, of course. If it looks good, please, yes, I will use it. So maybe two or three images out of the 10-page story will be jovial and really happy.
That's great. So just to wrap up, because we're getting to the very end here, think of the listeners and the photographers out there. What part of fashion photography can they bring to their own, maybe portrait photography, or what's kind of a technique or something? I'll pick one that you mentioned earlier, is just do how you just do what you feel, like go with it. That was wonderful. Like I felt that when you said that. That if I go and do a portrait session with one of my mitzvah teens, go with it. Just whatever the kid is doing kind of thing. So that might be one example. Is there anything else in your everyday that someone could take into a shoot?
Okay. Well, just remember that when you press that shutter, Omar, it says more about you than it does about the model you're shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, on one day you could be feeling really terrible. And when you feel that buzz in your solar plexus and you press the shutter, maybe you wouldn't have pressed the shutter on
I'm always another. Pressing the shutter. I'm like yeah, got it in there somewhere. Yeah.
Okay, all right, that's a good, yeah, that's also another way of doing it. That's where editing becomes more.
Okay, here's a piece of advice, two things, because I really want to answer your question. Let the don't direct. You, by virtue of you being there, you're already directing because they're conscious of your being there. So just by virtue of you being there, they're conscious of everything around them. So what your biggest job is to almost make them feel like you're no longer there and you're transparent.
I
don't know how that applies. I mean, you have to let them be. Now, if you can't let them be, give them a scenario. Say, hey, look, I want you to play with a drumstick or flip something up in the air or do something that you would do naturally.
No, I'm feeding off you. I'm feeding off you. That absolutely is great. Instead of, you know, a child or, someone being forced in front of the camera to act and smile, have them do something, or even a teenager sitting thinking, like, just
that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
You might get some. Just listen, sit there, think about things with your legs crossed, and then you work that scene.
No,
you know,
your legs crossed. No, don't even say that.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Don't even say with your legs.
I ruined the shoot already.
No. Just let them be.
Yeah.
And if you could just be there to chronicle that moment in time, just don't be afraid of yourself. Photographers are so afraid of themselves. They really think they have to direct. No, you are the director because you're there.
That's
great. All that matters.
I love it. That's great.
I hope that. And finally, for you, I'd like to say something. I think the toughest thing a photographer in your position, I would never want to do what you do. I know it's
make
too
YouTube videos.
No. I'm talking about shooting events and. For me, it's another thing. I love the production as much as I do the photo shoot. But what I think you could do as a fashion photographer, you asked me what you can bring to a portrait. Get some styling happening. Get a real stylist. Or let the person put something on that lets them feel totally at ease. You're not shooting fashion. Now, if you are shooting fashion, you need to here's my point. Don't shoot fashion unless you're ready to really do it seriously. And if you want to compete with everyone else, you have to be as good at the game as everyone else is. And just remember, this will blow you away, there's at least 200,000 fashion photographers in the United States alone. And what makes you different than those 200,000 photographers, Omar? You know what the difference between you and everyone else is? You are Omar Gonzalez. There's no other Omar Gonzalez on the planet. And I'll throw this last thing out to you. When I was about to move to New York City from LA, I'd gone to LA for about a year, someone said to me, Kinnaric, are you out of your mind? There are 10,000 photographers in New York. And in my stupid naivete, and this is not a paraphrase, I said the following: yes, there might be 10,000 photographers, but there's only one Benjamin Kinnaric.
Yeah.
And
I know that sounds a little bit,
no,
you know,
it's great.
It's who you are. It's who,
yeah.
It's just, and that's it.
It's thank you. Wait, there's the applause. We're adding it now, you know, in edit, we're adding it. You could apply that to anything because they're the mitzvah photographers in our area. There's a dime a dozen. And I think that is what sets you apart in any genre is you sell yourself. You are yourself. People want to be with you. People want to share your, you know, your love and your passion for your photographs. So that is great advice. And
I think it's also your persona, Omar. I think one of the reasons you, from what attracted to me, you as an individual, is you're funny, you're self-deprecating, you're intelligent, you have an incredibly, a really good vocabulary.
Oh, please. Thank you.
I think you're really amenable. I think, you know, so I can understand you doing well.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm working on my vocabulary a little bit much. What's that word? Much. All right, Benjamin, yeah. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Peace.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Peace out.
Take care. So what did we learn? Well, fashion photography is weird, but in a good way. I learned that there's so much planning and storyboarding and teamwork that goes into making an 8-page, 12-page spread. That's the first thing I learned. And as a takeaway, we could probably say maybe we should plan our shoots a little bit more. Maybe we can team up with a makeup artist. Maybe we can team up with a vintage clothing store and work out a story to do. I think applying some of that fashion photography into some of our portrait photography would be really helpful in bringing us to the next level. And one of the beautiful parts from the conversation that I loved was capturing moments that aren't directed is maybe something to try. So I'm definitely going to add that to the repertoire is let people be, yo, and stop directing. I think Ben said it great that just by you being there, you're already there directing the shoot. And I think it's great if you try to remove yourself a little bit from some portrait sessions or from whatever genre of photography you do. Ben also mentioned photographers are so afraid of themselves. You know, that's good advice to maybe let go a little bit and let shoots happen a little bit more organically as opposed to overthinking things, let's say. And lastly, importantly, there's only one you. And so that's important. Just be the best you. All right. I'll see you guys on the next one.